Matthew 28, we look back to that passage of scripture that we didn't do the last time. Matthew chapter 28, we read from verse 6. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you, or ahead of you, into Galilee. There you shall see him. Lo, I have told you. This is God's word. Our Father, we have pondered these phrases over the past weeks, and they have spoken to us. And as we would bring them to our people, we pray that they will speak to them also. We know that every word of the scriptures is God-breathed, and because they are God-breathed, they are life. Help us this hour to see your will for our lives as believers and as part of your church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Essentials in discipleship. Three essentials in discipleship. Continuing our review this evening of the Lord's post-resurrection ministry, I would like us to consider another subject similar to the last when I spoke about the Great Commission and the church. We looked at this some weeks ago in our evening message. This time we will push back a little earlier in the text, where I draw my subject, three essential elements in Christian discipleship. Now you know the word Christian came after disciples, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Disciples are Christian, but all disciples may not be Christians. I don't want to confuse you. Christians are disciples of Christ, and every disciple will have the marks of a disciple. The narrative make mention of two women as the first ones at the empty tomb on the first resurrection day, the Lord's day. Women were prominent in the Lord's ministry. And even today, you find that women in our church, what would we do without them? As a matter of fact, you can depend on some of our women more so than you can depend on our men. They put our men to shame. I always admire Sister Dorian, who works like clockwork in a timely manner. Whatever meeting it is, I never said anything to her. But here's a testimony that speaks volumes to us. Women have ever been prominent in the ministry up until now. From that Friday morning up to the afternoon when Jesus was crucified, women were there. You can read the narrative in all four Gospels. In Mark 15, verses 40 and 41, we read, there were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less, and Joseph, and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. Well, these are very important words. Galilee is approximately 60 miles north of Jerusalem. Prior to the death of Jesus, many women ministered to Jesus and the apostles. All four Gospels highlight the women, especially those with the name Mary, very significantly, because God often uses the women to symbolize the body of believers. Not only does he use the apostles, the disciples, but the women. Incidentally, the name Mary is not an accidental name that was given in those days prior to the coming of Jesus. It is similar to the Hebrew word that Naomi called herself when returning from Moab. Call me not Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Lord have dealt bitterly with me. The name Mary means bitter. It was a bitter time 400 years before Christ's coming. It was a time when God never spoke a word to his people, and he broke his silence when he spoke to Zechariah. And Zechariah questioned God, and God struck him dumb until John was announced. In other words, God's people were not to hear anything until John was born. Bitter. The name Mary became symbolic in Israel because God's judgment was upon his people. Today we give names arbitrarily because we like them. But not back then. This name meant something to reflect God's judgment on his corporate body. And no wonder God chose Mary to bring forth Jesus. Because out of that bitterness, Brother Depo, like the water that was bitter, same Hebrew word, out of that water came sweet Christ. So when you see words in the Bible and you study them, they're very important. And we should take note of them. And that, no wonder the angel said, Mary, fear not. You will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus. We want to share a message from this passage. The women in this chapter is a picture of the church, the new covenant church, not the old covenant church, the new covenant church. The church is known as the body of Christ. One day the church would become the bride of Christ. Those in the church that are truly saved would be the bride. But the church externally is called the body of Christ. We are not surprised to see women highlighted in the Word of God. But these women also can relate to every Christian personally. I want you to notice some things here. And this is what I'll seek to do in these minutes by showing these three action words that are essential in Christian discipleship. Before one can obey the Great Commission that we shared 2 weeks ago, these things ought to be evident. And I'm going to use some phrases tonight, some important phrases. And the first one is, come, see, Matthew 28, verse 5 and 6. I'll read the whole thing. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, For I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Brethren, you will not come to Jesus, or you will not find him unless you understand what this text is saying. The text says the women were seeking Jesus, and you will not find him unless you are seeking him. Today, people are not seeking Christ. They're seeking everything else. They're seeking church, but they're not seeking Christ, because he said, seek me and you'll find me. Where do we seek him? Well, we seek him in the Word of God. We listen to the Word of God. We seek Christ. And these women is a remarkable picture of the convert, the believer, the one that is being drawn to Christ. Come, see. The action words that I am considering are what was said to the women who came to the tomb with spices. And they were told, come, see the place where the Lord lay. And by the way, this verb should be in the past tense. It appears in the present tense, but it should be in the past, in the Greek. For you and I to become a disciple of Jesus, the first requirement is we must come and see the empty grave for ourselves. We don't have to travel to Palestine to see the empty tomb. We come in faith and in obedience to the gospel. I don't want you to think that we have to go and look at an empty tomb. No, that's not what I'm talking about. We're told in Colossians, if you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the earth. To come to the empty tomb is to identify or become identified with the risen Savior, with the resurrected life. That's what I'm speaking about. We come to identify with him. We are to come to this Savior in our lives. Now you know, over the last few weeks, I have determined to speak evangelistically. You may say, but over the last weeks, you've been driving home these, because I am deliberately speaking as an evangelist. And I tell you why. Because the apostle commands it, especially in the church. And these are basic messages. And we go back to basics, because I have become convinced that many people who come to this church are not in a state of grace. And that's why I come back to the old-fashioned gospel. You may be one of them this evening. Pastor Martin said in his book, woe is the preacher if he assumes that his entire congregation is saved and he doesn't preach evangelistically regularly. Come. A dead Jesus has no power to save. A dead Savior have no power to change our lives. There are two very important words stated by the heavenly messengers. One, come. To come involves effort. It calls for abandonment of self. Many don't want to come to Jesus. You and I can't get to our place of work unless we move our feet. The coming is a deliberate part. When I speak of coming to Christ, I am not inferring that we answer an altar call. We come in faith, believing, just as we are told in Hebrews 11:6. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh, and that word cometh is in the present indicative. He that is coming to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The way how some of our people come to church, at this church, they are not diligently seeking Christ. When I was a young believer, I don't even know if I was saved then. I used to be at the Manhattan Bible Church. I used to be right there with Doris sitting, with my notepad, my Bible that was given to me, and I was recording sermons after sermons. I used to drive all the way to 207th Street and 11th Avenue in Washington Heights. I was seeking Christ, and he hasn't disappointed me yet. I guess Pastor Tom probably would be smiling to see me in front of people speaking today. And Jackie, you know Pastor Tom. I introduced Jackie to Pastor Tom Harris. When Jackie came to New York, I was the first to pick her up and take her the church, doing the work of an evangelist. Sorry, Jackie, I talk about your business. You see, that's the problem when you're friends with me. You must come in faith. You younger ones, may I ask, what is keeping you from coming to Jesus? What is keeping you from approaching me? And says, Pastor, Brother Tate, I have been listening. What is hindering me from being baptized? I will tell you, believe with all your heart that Jesus is your Savior and be baptized. Come. Come. The coming is a deliberate effort on our part to be obedient to the heavenly calling. Many today are only willing to come to a halfway point. Brethren, our Savior didn't went halfway to Golgotha. He didn't went halfway. He absorbed the wrath of God. You should think about that. Some are willing to go just that far with the Lord and no further. And you can't get them go any further because they have not come in accordance to Scripture. Before one can demonstrate any usefulness for the Lord Jesus and his church, they have to come to the place of identifying with the death of the Lord Jesus and his resurrection. We must come and see. Jesus said to the blind Pharisees and the scribes, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Even though the Lord knew that salvation is the work of God, he laid responsibility on man and said, and you will not come to me that you must have life. You are not willing to come to me and have life. And some of you are here like this, this evening. You are not willing. Look at you children. You're not too young. You are stubborn. You are rebellious. You too must come. You must speak to your parents. If you don't want to speak to your pastor and ask, how can I come? Like Pastor Tate was saying. Another action word is see. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. In this instance, the seeing was natural. It was the sight of the empty tomb. This was a tremendous relief to those women when they saw the empty tomb. It was a strength to their faith when they looked. It was so exciting that they took off. See the place where the Lord lay. What is one of the first essential ingredients for being a disciple of Jesus Christ? Come. See the place. The coming is our responsibility. It is a deliberate effort to find proof of something. The seeing is God's enabling power. Just like the song said. That's like the song we sang this morning. This he gives you. This he gives you. Come ye sinners, poor and needy. When you feel a need to come, even that he gives you. The coming is your responsibility. Don't listen to these people. You can't get them come to a church door. Let me tell you, COVID is the best thing that ever happened to me. It has bust the door wide open to show me who is who in the church. God has a way of speaking loud and clear. He may not speak through me, but he has spoken through COVID. Jesus used an example of the queen of the south who came to see Solomon. These words are written in 1 Kings 10, 6 and 7. I'll read it to you. When the queen came, she brought her whole train, chariots, a whole train, maybe traveling for days. Very wealthy woman. And when she came to see Solomon, she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land." And by the way, this is dripping with gospel. We know she heard in her own land, but we hear about Christ in our own land too. In our sin. In our state of sin. About your words and your wisdom. And brother, you would like this too. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes. And indeed, half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard. The little things you hear about Christ is just nothing to compare with eternity. I could only give you a little bit because that's my knowledge is limited. But you must come and see. As a matter of fact, this historical incident is so important to the gospel that Jesus used this account to condemn those who were hearing him preach in Matthew 12:42, saying, He remembered this event, and it shows he was directing that event to teach the gospel. And he said to those unbelieving Jews, "The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here." So let it be understood that though God sovereignly saves people, the call is placed upon us all to come to Him. Now, I know this morning I did an expository message, but this evening I come with human responsibility. The coming is our responsibility. It is a continuous coming, because the word is in the present tense. Keep coming and coming. Let us understand our responsibility. So is the seeing. If you never personally came, you will not see. Well, let's move on. The second essential in our consideration of these words this evening relating to Christian discipleship is in verse 7. Go and tell. Notice that in each instance, there are two verbs. Come and see. Go and tell. Verse 7. I hope you picked that up. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. By the way, let me explain this quickly. Of course, you go and tell the disciples can be used in a general sense, but the going and telling his disciples you can use in an elective sense, because only the true disciples would believe the gospels. And everybody here this evening that have become truly saved, it is because somebody told you about the gospel. Historically speaking, this was a sharp rebuke to the disciples of Jesus, the men. They were hiding because of fear, somewhat like what many are doing today. The women were told to go quickly. It was women that Jesus used first. Go quickly. It was a rebuke to the church, to the men, especially Peter, the one that had the biggest mouth. And we should take note about this too. Men, some of you men should take note of this. Today in the church, nothing seems to be done in an expeditious manner. Go quickly. Jesus saw an urgency in making his resurrection known. It says he's going to Galilee. Why Galilee? Well, here's another very important word. Because Galilee is a picture of the nations. Isaiah 9, 1 and 2. I'm not going to read it. It's a picture of the world. He's going ahead of you to Galilee. The messenger said, go quickly. Tell his disciples. Disciples didn't believe forthwith. They had their doubts. You and I do not believe instantly. Every week there's a particular lady that I always say to her when she's leaving, see you next Sunday. She think I'm joking. She's working next Sunday. I know. See you next Sunday. And you may hear me saying that. You say, but Pastor, she's not going to be here next Sunday. But she's working. Well, she should be here. And that's why I say, see you next Sunday. Or see you this evening. But you could sing him a ton. You wouldn't see these ones. You're not disciples. The disciples did not believe forthwith. You know, you and I are slow learners. But the women cannot be faulted for not going. And you should pick that up. Mark gave a little different, more details. Mark says, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he, the Lord, goeth before you, ahead of you, into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Sometimes, brethren, the gospel is reserved only for the elect. Don't say anything to anyone. What to the disciples? Doesn't mean you don't tell them the gospel, but you can tell them. But they're not going to hear. They're not going to listen. God has ordained it that way. You tell them. Doesn't mean they're going to listen. Peter is mentioned because Peter was deeply wounded, having denied his Lord 3 times. Peter is mentioned. Go and tell Peter. It was vintage Jesus. Go and tell Peter. Yeah. He's risen. That kind of attitude. No, he wasn't boasting. There was assurance to Peter. Peter was to hear this because Peter would be the first preacher to preach the resurrection on Pentecost. You see, brethren, when you go and you tell, you don't know if you will produce a Peter. You don't know who you're going and telling would produce. You got 2 young men that we're looking at to help. Moses, I ain't too sure about he. Desire, looking at more. If we didn't go, there wouldn't be none of them. We'll be swallowed up by thieves and robbers. Some of you always ask me, when are you coming back? You shouldn't worry about that. Sometimes I wish I never come back. I mean it. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. I was telling Colin, I'm getting old and I can feel it every day. And I don't know how much longer I can minister the gospel. The day is coming that I would have to say, amen, fellas, we have to call somebody else to this ministry. Peter is mentioned because he was the one chosen to preach glad tidings 50 days later. Here we see the power of disciples' witness. Now, some of you going away. Some of you going. But what are you going with? What are you going with? And where are you going? One can never tell if they're going and telling would produce a Peter. And even If one's witness does not produce a Peter or a Paul, the command is still issued. Don't worry about the fruit. One does not have to be able to articulate the message of the gospel as Peter or Paul, but they can go and they can tell. Two essential ingredients or elements in discipleship. Come and see, group together as one. The coming is experiential. The seeing is supernatural. I hope you understand what I mean, Colin. You understand me? Good. The coming is experiential. You understand me? You can explain that to the kids. The coming is experiential. The seeing is supernatural. Because God must give you eyes to see, but you must come. Go and tell. That's the second group of words. Go and tell. Third fundamental element in discipleship. Three, worship him. Worship him, verse 8 and 9. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Now, people say, but why did he stop Mary from touching him and he allowed? Well, it's different. Mary is a single woman. This is a company of women, the church. Don't forget this part. The same ones who were told to come and see, the same ones that were told go and tell, are the same ones that fell at his feet and worship him. Many today are ready to run here, there, and everywhere and never have time for the key ingredient in discipleship. Never have time for worship. Always on the go. But not in the way. Always on the go, but never found in the way. You and I should mark this point last point well. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and beheld him by the feet. And Mary here is one. And every time you see her, she's the same place. Brethren, if you and I have truly come to the Savior, if we have truly seen the glory of the resurrected Savior, we will hasten to worship him. We are told that those who are saved are risen with him, that we will seek those things that are above. Now, seeking things above is not speaking about seeking heaven. That is part of it too. But there are a whole lot of things that a believer would seek that are heavenly. What do you worship? Or who do you worship? Today, the reason why so many are idolers is because they never came. Jesus might as well be in the grave. Don't keep him there. It is how we live that demonstrate to others who Jesus is. It's no magic. It is how we live. It's a powerful witness. When my neighbor next door see me step out on Sunday morning in a timely manner, get in my car with my wife, go to church and come back. And she looks for me. She peeps through the screen. Suppose she see a bunch of men come in there, Super Bowl. No. She sees a man for the last 30-something odd years leaving home at the same time with a Bible and his family. I'm talking to you. And some of our people run off down the shores. Don't say a word. And expect the pastor to look in their face and grin. Where were you? Mama. Many would de-emphasize worship because they have not seen the glory of the Lord Jesus. They're not changed from glory to glory. Worship is a means of telling others of the Savior. I hear of some that are ill prepared for worship, as though God must have second place. I can excuse people if they come Tuesday night after work and they're breaking off their necks. But I don't excuse people for breaking off their necks on Sundays, the Lord's Day. Not prepared. The women got word from the heavenly messengers. Go quickly as they went. Jesus met them. Notice that when we follow the Lord's instructions in obedience, the Lord Jesus would reveal himself to us. As they were going, Jesus revealed himself to them. Only then will we be drawn to worship. You understand? As they were going in obedience, Jesus met them. The Bible said they stopped and they worship him. God put these words like that deliberately. You must search them out. One will never, never worship God if they haven't come to that place that give them assurance that their sins are forgiven. Let us not lose sight of these three principles. They are essential ingredients in Christian discipleship. Come. Not a one-time coming. Keep coming. Many are satisfied with a once-in-a-while coming. See this lady, I saw her 2 weeks ago. Didn't see her this week. I look for them. How they come. Don't expect anything from God when you're like that. Many are satisfied with a once in a while coming. No one will be given to usefulness with an occasional coming. The more we come to him in faith and obedience, the more we see. You see, the seeing comes from God. He has to make us see. Some haven't come to the point of seeing. Third, go quickly. These three, ponder these things, brethren. Don't lose sight of them, please. This is an evangelistic call this evening. We must come and see for ourselves by faith. Read the Bible carefully. There must be this conversion experience. There must be this identification with the Savior. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what I'm talking about. There's no doubt that many will come in a physical way. But are they seeing anything? I don't know. There's no doubt that many are going. But what are they going with? This says that many will run to and fro. Are we seeing this today? Running to and fro. Like the days of Noah. Running here, there, and everywhere. But what are they running with? We are not secret disciples. Our light is to shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. But most importantly, we will take our place at his feet when the time comes. This is my life. Don't think that when I go down there to certain Africa, that I just running up and down. No, I'm worshiping with the humble people that God have given to me. I'm leading them in worship. I'm worshiping. I have developed a group of men down there, and whenever they see me approach, meet me in the room to pray. Meet me over there in that little dusty room and pray. I cry with them. I laugh with them. I eat with them. That's what I'm speaking about. So in our conclusion, let us not lose sight of these action words that I shared with you. We are to be like those first responders who heard the gospel. We can still do it today as the Lord's people. Brother Presley, let's pray. Our Father and our God, the Great Commission can only come in our lives after we have come to see where we stand before you and what you did for us on the cross. The Great Commission begins at the foot of the cross, and it also begins with worship of the risen Savior. Only then would we hear the words, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Be with our people, be with me, be with the men of the church, be with our families. And for those who have not yet come, we pray that you would give them no rest until they find rest in thee. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.